Hey guys, welcome to Sunday Nights at Refuge, a community-focused Bible study that gathers weekly in our Common Ground Cafe. So grab a cup of coffee or tea and your Bible. By the way, you can connect with us on Instagram at Refuge Family. Now, our prayer is that Jesus would use this message to draw you closer to Him. So if you're ready, let's join tonight's study.
You guys want to give a warm welcome to Pastor Ben? He's going to bring the word tonight.
Good evening. It's hard to believe it was just a week ago we were here together, but time flies. Open your Bibles, please, to Mark's Gospel, chapter 2, as we continue on through the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 2, verse 13. Then he went out again by the sea, and all the multitude came to him, and he taught them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, "Follow me." And so he arose, and he followed him. And now it happened, as he was dining in Levi's house, that many tax collectors and sinners also sat together with Jesus and his disciples. For there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eating with tax collectors and sinners, they said to his disciples, "How is it that he eats and drinks with tax collectors and sinners?" And when Jesus heard it, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we bless you and praise you for another opportunity to look at your accomplishments, Lord, while you were here. And so, Lord, we pray that that work of your Holy Spirit would be among us to bring life, bring application, and Lord, change our hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The life and ministry of Jesus of Nazareth. A lot of this is familiar to us, but I'd like to recap what we've been dealing with. The ministry of Jesus now is in full swing. He's been gaining quite a lot of notoriety. And he's been going around doing good. He's been healing the sick. He's been teaching. He's been preaching. And tonight we're going to see him also calling. And so this was his purpose as he comes and he ministers there on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, there at Capernaum, which really became quite like his headquarters in so many ways. It's a beautiful spot. How many of you have been there to Capernaum, anybody? Okay, a few of us. Yeah, and it's a beautiful little spot right on this beautiful lake, the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus is ministering there. People's lives are being impacted. We remember last time together, if you were here, it said there was so many gathering at this particular house where Jesus was because Jesus was in the house. And I like that. Jesus is in this house too. But yet it was one of those places, one of those Bible studies, if you will, where it was really a hallelujah happening. Jesus was there, the God-man. And things were exciting. It was electric, if you will. And man, no one ever spoke like this man. He was teaching the people. And then he was healing people. He even healed in our last time together that man, the paralytic man, totally paralyzed man, at the mercy of four of his good friends, brought him to Jesus. And we looked at that last time. And now as he's teaching, preaching, we see him now moving on from this particular location. And as it says, he went out again by the sea, and the multitudes came to him, and he taught them. Teaching was so important. And teaching is important in our day as well, because you know what? There's a lot of bad press God gets. People we meet, they're confused about God. They have weird concepts about God. And nothing was different even in this particular economy of things. The Jews, many of them, particularly the religious sort, were far from God. particularly the Pharisees and the scribes. Jesus would say, you know, you guys look great on the outside. You look like these beautiful whitewashed tombs, but inside you're full of dead man's bones. Your religious is in vain. And so this was the climate in which the people were subjected to. And then you and me, Mr. Average Person, you know, we're looking to those pastors, if you will, the religious leaders of our communities, and we're thinking, man, if he's rebuking them and they're off the wall, what do we know? And Jesus took the time to set the record straight, which we're doing here. It's called theology, huh? Theology is just that word that says, you know, studying God. And Jesus is here and he's teaching the people, teaching them about God, about what true righteousness is. And you know all the teachings of Jesus. But here he is, he's on the shores, he's passing by. And notice this in verse 14, he passes by a tax collector's office, if you will. Happens to be this guy, Levi. It's a Hebrew name, one of the 12 tribes. But yet, we know him as Matthew, the author of one of the Gospels eventually. This was a prized catch, if you will, of a person. And, you know, here's the guy. You got to picture the scene. Jesus is on the shores of the Sea of Galilee doing much of his teaching. There's a buzz. He's in all the papers. And you're stuck in this little booth. You wish maybe you could go and hear the preacher, the rabbi. But you're stuck at work. And then the most amazing thing happens. Jesus passes by. And he points out Levi. He chooses him. He says, follow me. Now, we have to consider a couple of things about these tax collectors. They were the despised of the society. This particular idea of him collecting taxes was for Herod, the Tetrarch of Galilee. So he was a Jew working for really the non-Jews, not the Romans. That would have even been worse, but typically Romans were the ones who would collect Roman taxes. This was on a trade route that went right past the city of Capernaum in this general area, and he was a despised member of society. And I think it's very interesting to be reminded that Jesus singles him out. It's almost as if Jesus went out of his way to go to the rejects of society, those that are marginalized. That's the heart of God. And I think, you know, as we're going to discover these things, it's a beautiful picture. It even got better for Levi. Not only was he stuck at work, if you will, in this tax office, Jesus comes to him personally, says, follow me, and then it even gets better. Because God definitely is a God of exceedingly abundantly above and all you could ever ask or think. And notice what happens. Now it happened, verse 15, that he was dining at Levi's house. Jesus not only called him, can you imagine how thrilled Levi was to be called by name by this rabbi who's doing marvelous things, who might even be the Messiah? There's talk on the streets that this could be him. He's raised the dead. No man's ever spoke like this man. And then he calls me a reject of society by name. And then he does the ultimate. He comes to my house for dinner. That's beautiful to me. I don't know if you guys are catching that, but you know, maybe you're feeling a little bit, you know, gosh, so-and-so wouldn't come to my house for dinner, you know. They really knew who I was. Well, Jesus says, I know exactly who you are. You're Levi, son of Alphaeus, a tax collector, despised, rejected of men, if you will. But I'm calling you, and then I'm going to go to your house for dinner. But then notice, there were some other guests as well. They're named here. Notice this. It says, they were tax collectors and sinners sat with Jesus and his disciples. Now, I always find this interesting. I don't know if you found it funny or not. I have sort of a warped sense of humor. But you know, sinners Everybody was a sinner as far as Jesus was concerned. But a lot of what we're going to see in the next verse is it's the idea of the society judging certain people, especially the religious people, the Pharisees. And what they do is they categorize people. Either you're with us in the temple worship and you make sure you tithe, make sure you read your Bible, make sure you do this, you fast, you wash your hands, you do everything like we do, or you're a sinner. And so these were people that were sinners for sure in their eyes, but not in Jesus' eyes. And Jesus was very comfortable. See, Jesus is a friend of sinners. Did you know that? He's my friend. Jesus is a friend of sinners. And I'm so thankful for that. And I have to keep that in mind as, you know, we spend time together in these little Christian circles and we can forget, you know. You get this little small mentality, churchy mentality, you just forget about the fact that where you've come from maybe. Or worse yet, you know, you were just kind of raised in that environment and you're kind of self-righteous. And it's an ugly thing to be. It's an ugly place to be. It's not the heart of God. This is the heart of God right here. And he's eating with tax collectors, the rejects of society, the people that nobody would talk to, let alone go to their home. Because eating was quite intimate. I mean, eating is still kind of intimate, isn't it? I mean, maybe not so much these days, you know, but if you ask me out for an In-N-Out burger, I think that's pretty cool. I'll go have an In-N-Out burger with you. But, you know, sharing food, especially in this culture, was quite intimate. So Jesus not only called this reject, but now he's eating at his house with others just like him. And the religious community is looking on, as they always do, frowning upon such things. Because in their minds, you know, they're thinking, if this guy was really of God, he would know who he's eating with. These are sinners. They're so far from God, though. So he's there and with the disciples. And then these scribes and Pharisees got so heated up when they saw this, him eating with tax collectors, verse 16, and sinners. They said to the disciples, how is it that he drinks with tax collectors and sinners? What kind of a religious church are you part of? See, there is such a thing as a religious person. I hope you know that. And then there's somebody who really understands that they're a sinner. Jesus came for sinners. And you got born again. And now you've got God's heart in you. It's being born again. You've got the Spirit of God in you. And so now you're going to start to love the things that God loves. But you can just be a religious person and just go through the motions and, you know, but your heart's never been changed. That's very possible. You're just religious. Oh man, I haven't missed a Sunday since I was 12. Well, well done. That doesn't do anything for your heart, does it? And these religious people are looking on with contempt, which all religious people do. They're judgmental. Now, this is interesting because as they do this, Jesus, knowing all things, simply responds to them in a very interesting way. By the way, this is one of three gospels that are called the synoptic gospels. Do you know what I mean by synoptic? It's Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Basically, they're called the synoptic gospels because they contain pretty much the same information, whereas John's gospel is quite unique. It's got a higher percentage of material that's not found in the other gospels. Okay, so the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. This story is found in the other synoptic gospels. It's found in Matthew's gospel and Luke's. And we're reading Mark's account of the very same story. If you go to Matthew chapter 9, Jesus, in this dialogue with these Pharisees, not only rebukes them and says, listen, I didn't come to call the righteous to repentance, but sinners. If you're sick, you need a physician, but those that aren't sick, they don't need a physician. And then he adds in Matthew's gospel, Jesus does, He says, I want you to go home and I want you to learn something. Tell him these guys. I want you to go home. I want you to learn something. He didn't say go home, but he says, I want you to learn this. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. Think about that one. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. It's easy to sacrifice, isn't it? Sacrifice is so much easier than to have a heart of mercy. Okay, I'll give him $5. I'll sacrifice. Okay, I'll sacrifice an hour of my time, but then after that, I've got to go home. Sacrifice. It's not so hard. Oh, I'm sacrificing by being here tonight. Sacrifice is not necessarily that hard to do, depending on what we're talking about, right? But God says, you forgot it. You forgot mercy. Mercy. What is mercy? Maybe you don't even know what mercy is, and therefore you could never do it because you don't even know what it is. Sounds like a good churchy word, though, huh? Mercy. It is the idea of not getting what you deserve. So if you're an alcoholic or you're a drug addict and I'm a Christian, God would want me to be merciful to you and show you the way of salvation instead of coming down and saying, you filthy pig, you should never even come set foot in a church. Or whatever it is. You have no mercy in your heart. God has mercy. Thank God he's merciful, huh? Thank God he's merciful. So he adds that. That's not in this thing. And I think that's very significant. There's this religious, religious thing that can happen to a spirit, whatever you want to call it. And it's quite deceptive. You think you're okay. For instance, in Matthew's gospel, chapter 9, toward the end of this dialogue here, concerning this idea that Jesus said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. See, you got to know you're sick. And then the physician can help you. But if you're well, I'm good. I'm good. I just go to church. I go to Sunday nights. Well, you could very well do all those things and not know God necessarily. But the point I'm trying to make here is in the Gospel of Matthew, this account, it says, Jesus speaking, I better quote it. I better not try to quote it. I better look it up. But in this regards of thinking you're good with God when you really aren't good with God, I'm not sick. That person's sick, though. You know, that's always easier to say that, huh? Oh, I never did that. Well, let me just say this. What Jesus says in another place, and I have to look up the address, forgive me. He says, you know, if you would have just said you don't see, but because you say you do see, you're still in your sin. Basically, what he's saying is because you say you see, there's no sickness in you, you can't be healed. But if you would have just understood your condition and just simply said, yeah, you know, I'm blind. I'm sick. Then you could be healed. And that's a tremendous thing there because there's a lot of people that you might meet. Go to church, wherever. I'm sure not this place, right? Hey, you ask them, they don't think they're sick. This is the good boys club. This is the good girls club. That's so far from the truth. That's not what the Church of Jesus of Christ is for. He came to save sinners, you know? Yeah, okay. Some are worse than others, right? We're not all Charles Manson's or Adolf Hitler's or,
But all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's the reality of the ground.
Some have done worse. Yes, fine. And if you just simply realize that, these Pharisees couldn't see it. They thought they were okay with God. What a terrible place to be when you're really not good with God. But again, it's just that admission. That's all that was required. And I love how Jesus sought after this reject, if you will, of society. And he told these religious people maybe there would be some hope for them, because there was some hope in these religious circles. Nicodemus is one of them. Read John chapter 3. He was a Pharisee, but he recognized no man can do the things that you're doing unless God be with him. I'm a Pharisee of the religious order. I'm a, whatever, Baptist. Good Baptist. But I recognize you're from God. And though a religious man, he was far from God, because Jesus had to tell him, hey, Nick, unless you're born again, you'll not even see the kingdom of God. You can't conceive it. You can't comprehend it. You have to be born again, Nicodemus. Born again? I thought I signed my membership card and I was good to go. I mean, there are different concepts out there. Do you understand that? They're religious ideas. And religion removes the heart of God from any given situation. It's just external. See, that's what religion is. It's all about externals. Well, he looks so holy. He actually wears that really clever collar, you know? Doesn't he look smart? Oh, the robes. Those are impressive. You know, he's obviously a holy man of God because he wears a robe. And we kiss his ring. The religious people of Jesus' day are no different than the religious people of our day. They're so far from God. And Jesus says, I desire mercy. Isn't that interesting that he says, again, deity, remember we talked about that last time, who can forgive sins but God? That you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. I say unto thee, take up thy bed and walk. And that's what we saw yesterday. That was God in the flesh. I desire mercy. Go home and read that. Go home and figure that one out. Go home and, you know, get that in your heart. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. You guys are the most unmerciless. Is that the right word? You're so unmerciless. Merciless? I don't know. And sometimes if we're not careful, we can become like that. A pharisaical kind of an attitude. It's a religious thing. It can happen to us as Christians as well, right? There's definitely the reality of somebody that doesn't know God and that's all they really have is to be religious. But, you know, we can do that amongst each other after we kind of get into our little holy huddles. You know, and we speak this little Christian language that sounds weird to everybody else. Be blessed, brother. You know, it's like, okay, you know. Everybody else going, be blessed, what's that mean, you know? But, you know, we do this to each other, don't we? We become religious. We can become religious. And it's all about these funny interactions that we might have with each other. But we've removed ourselves from the Lord's heart. And we're condemning everybody out there. Oh, I just saw a thing on the news right before I came. Sorry, and I don't think I need to make any excuses for that one group. What's that one Christian group that goes to the... Oh, they're horrible. That one group that always goes and condemns everybody. You know the ones that goes to the funerals? You know, they'll show up at the graveyard. Huh? The Baptist. Yes, thank you. West, what's it called? Yeah, Westboro? Yeah. Oh, gosh. They need some serious love. They need to take that scripture. I think that's what Jesus would do to them. He would take that scripture and he'd say, you know what? Go home and learn this. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. And so tonight, you know, just looking at Jesus, thank you, Jesus, that you came to save sinners. That's the big picture, right? Let's pull back from it a little bit. He's on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. He goes out of his way to meet this guy at work. Stuck, you know, at work. Maybe desiring to go hear the preacher. Because he's just around it, you know, but he's stuck in this booth. And Jesus goes out of his way. I love that about Jesus. He goes out of his way, doesn't he? He went out of his way for me. He went out of his way for many of you. You weren't seeking him. I wasn't seeking him. He sought me. It's called election. It's by grace. He came to save sinners. And I qualify. And I'm so thankful. And he provides that perfect righteousness, not a self-righteousness, which stinks not only to God, but it stinks to others. Have you ever been around somebody like that before? Someone that just made you feel like, maybe he's a Christian. It is a Christian I'm talking about, but I remember this one particular person. Every time I was around this person, I felt dirty. They were Christian. And I just felt dirty. It made me feel dirty. I don't think that that's the way it should be. I think if somebody's really walking with the Lord, you're going to be attracted. People were attracted. Sinners sat with Jesus. Do you think sinners would have had a nice meal with Jesus if he made them feel uncomfortable? You know, if he came across and said, you know, you harlot. I know all about you. Eat your food. He knew about everybody. He knows all about me. He knows all about you. And he says, I came to save sinners. Go home and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. I don't want your religious service. I don't need your religious service. I want your heart. And go home and learn my heart. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I have come to save sinners. But you got to know you're sick. And if you say, you know what, I'm sick. Guess what? Good news. Jesus came to heal the sickness. And I'm so thankful that this is the portrayal of the real Jesus of Nazareth. And that's the real key, the real Jesus of Nazareth. I wouldn't be able to tell you these things unless it was right here before. You just read it. That's the real Jesus. So if your concept of Jesus is something other than what we just described, I mean, he's so glorious, he's bigger than what we just described, but if this contradicts anything, like, oh, I thought Jesus was condemning. I thought he was, you know, hard to take. No. He actually sought sinners. He came to seek to save that which was lost. His heart is God's heart. He is God. And he said, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. And then to be merciful to others as I have the heart of God. You know, just to be merciful, not giving people what they deserve. You know, sometimes we got a good reason to be upset with certain people and situations. But you know, in the body of Christ, it says, be kind. Tender-hearted toward one another, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. And that's really my desire. I don't always perform so well, right? But I know that that just resonates with me. Be kind, tender-hearted toward one another, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ saved you, forgave you. And what does it say? He who's been forgiven much, what? Loves much. When you realize, wow, all that stuff I did, and he forgave me of it all, how could I ever hold anything against you? I can't. Because he forgave me so much. And so go and learn this. Chew on this, maybe the rest of this week. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. And God help us to have that heart, his heart, right? because so oftentimes I think I can lack it. I can become religious, and I have to fight against that. That pharisaical attitude and say, wow, Lord, you're merciful. Thank you that you're merciful. I need it. They need it. Let's give it to each other as well. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your people. Thank you for your example. Thank you for who you are in your heart. And Lord, will you help us as your people by your Spirit? As you've been so merciful to us, Lord, help us to be merciful to others. Not to be condemning, but to be people that can share a truth with those that are in error. That we're not there to condemn, we're not there to judge. But we can speak the truth and say, you know, Jesus came to save sinners. He came to heal those that were sick. And so, Lord, thank you for who you are. I pray blessings now on your people. And, Lord, the rest of this week, will you help us this week, Lord? Help us, help my brothers, help my sisters to really meet with you this week. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.
Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins. Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more.
No more.
Unlock the door that holds.